It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with the Love Master, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
The Love Master. What's going on, Dave?
Track Shoebox. Remember the great comedian? The Love Master. Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely.
Okay, well, anyway, if you get a chance, check it up on YouTube. I love him. But I won't go into all my Love Master stuff. But anyway, I'll leave that for Kyle from LaGrange. Bubba Rosenbaum, he's actually the Love Master. but anyway, we love Bubba. He's on assignment, and we'll see if he can join us or not. There's so much to, believe it or not, Kyle, there's a lot to talk about. We've got a great show, as always, and a lot of great guests. In fact, we have Joey Perry. We'll be talking to him. Bubba and I talked to him recently about the grounds and a whole bunch of cool stuff there. Appreciate him from ECU taking care of all the different stadiums of football with the turf there and, of course, baseball. We'll find out which is his favorite sport. Kyle will be interested to know that.
That'll be football.
You'll find out. And we also have Kim McNeil. She's going to be joining us. We'll have her on the
show. I know her favorite sport is women's basketball.
I hope it is. That would be weird. We'll have to ask her. That'll be a great question for you to ask, Kyle.
Well, if you remember, Dave, in the original interview, she grew up running a lot of motorsports and four-wheeling.
That's right. We'll have to ask her about that, to revisit that question for sure. I got one serious topic to talk about and one fun topic. We'll take the serious first. Kyle, I don't know about you. You and I both love traveling. You travel all the time. That's one of my things I admire about you most. You and Jessica do, and so does.
Well, we travel domestically. We don't do much international travel, which is where this topic is going.
Yes, but let me say, next year, I hope you will be, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay. So, for people that haven't followed, this is like water cooler. The reason I'm bringing this up, a water cooler topic, is radio people would say what people are talking about around town and my friends and family is social media about the Americans that unfortunately are getting sick and passing away and dying in the Dominican Republic. In fact, we had a man, I believe it was a doctor, a couple days ago, passed away from, and I think the death toll now is 7. And,
I think it's 9, actually.
That's 9? Okay, it keeps growing. I can't keep up. And I thought the travel minister, I think this foreign minister, travel minister, whatever he is, from the Dominican said a week or so ago, well, it's only 6, at the time it was 6 people that passed away. Well, it's only 6 Americans. We have thousands and thousands of Americans that come here. And I'm like, dude, there's been hundreds of people sick, enough
exactly.
to be in the hospital. Like, this is not like, he's trying to make it, I understand he's not saying like 5 million people are dying, Americans, but it's not like isolated incidents. Something's going on here.
There's a lot of people getting sick. And you had the deaths along with it. I don't know if it's a situation. It looks like a lot of it is associated with the bars. I don't know if it's a situation where,
and it's
people,
also the resorts, man. There are a lot of
the bars at the resorts.
Right.
I don't know if it's a situation where they're intentionally poisoning people. It certainly seems that way. You know, one thing I wondered, if they were using cheap bootleg liquor. A lot of people died over the years, but during Prohibition,
over bootleg. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Using cheap liquor, it's a very poor country. And maybe they're serving it to the Americans. I don't know. It's a good question. There does appear to be something going on that's not just coincidental, that all the Americans are getting sick and some are dying. I don't know. A toxicology report should be able to solve this pretty easy, so I don't understand that.
But a toxicology report, if you were poisoned, it could also say that you had a heart attack, and that's what some of the people
true.
Are dying.
Well, that's true, but you should be able to find traces of something in someone's blood.
You would think, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going on. You mentioned before we came on the podcast about perhaps Trump should put in a travel ban to the Dominican and hurt them in the pocketbook. And that could help, depending on who's behind it. And I guess no matter who's behind it, it could help because, if it is just some some isolated thugs steal, then the Dominican will get more serious about investing.
Right. That's my point. I'm not saying the innocent people of the Dominican. I'm not trying to say starve the people of the streets or, you know, be like cold-hearted. I'm just simply saying if you put political pressure on there, and, you know, Mr. President, that's what I would say. He listens, you know, to every podcast and everything anyway. Why not go ahead and put a travel ban on there? And, you know, if he calls us out on Twitter, we'll be heroes anyway. But why not put a travel ban on the Dominican until we can find out what's going on?
If Trump listens to the Sports Objective podcast, I'll eat my hat, but I don't have a chocolate hat.
And then, how about this? How ironic is that he puts a travel ban on Cuba? It's one of the safest countries in the world, certainly when it comes to travel. I found this out tonight. If you hurt a tourist, a non-Cuban, you get double the – whatever the punishment is, you get double.
I think a travel ban is probably a good idea until this crap clears up. I had a friend, Betty Ann, who was actually on the podcast promoting a Strides Walk event. She went to the Dominican about a month before all this started happening. Her and her family went to celebrate, I believe it was a wedding anniversary for her sister or brother and their spouse, like a 25th or 50th wedding anniversary, something like that. And the whole family went, for, I think, a week. And she had a great time, and they stayed at one of the resorts in Punta Cana.
I love that. I want to go there really bad, but I'm not now.
Not right now.
I've got a personal travel ban.
Yeah. She had a great time. And then when she comes back, all this stuff starts happening. So, it's crazy. She just missed it. So, you know, somebody I know, I may not have been affected by it if they went, but certainly would have been scary. If I had plans right now to go to the Dominican, to Punta Cana, to any one of the other tourist locations in the Dominican Republic, I would cancel it. I would go somewhere else. I'd go to, Puerto Rico or the Bahamas somewhere like that instead. I would not go. And I know the Dominican is a very cheap place to travel, and that's why it is appealing to Americans. You know, I think they stayed that entire week at the resort with everything included. And that's something else. You talk about it being alcohol. Alcohol's included with a lot of these resort prices.
Yeah.
I think with airfare to the resort, 7 or 5 nights, 6 nights at the resort, with food and drinks included, I think it was $1,000 per person. That was with airfare. Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
No, it's fantastic. So you think about this, what it costs you to go to Myrtle Beach for a week.
That's what I was hearing.
Going to include your drink and food. I mean, if you get a hotel in Myrtle Beach for a week right now, it's going to cost you $700-$800 and this time of year. And
$200 a night, right?
Huh?
At least $200 a night for the room.
Well, you might can find something cheaper if you don't mind staying in one of those older hotels on Ocean Boulevard. But let's say you got something for $150 a night. Let's be real conservative. Well, you know, if you stayed for 5 nights, that's 550 times 5
750.
Is another $750. There you go.
There you go.
And that's not including taxes.
Eating,
drinking, going to events, you'll be lucky to get out for under $2,000. So that's why people choose these trips to the Dominican. You know, why it is appealing to Americans, why so many Americans are still going right now, even with the danger. I tell you, if I did go right now, what I wouldn't do is drink. I'd take my, you know, I don't know if I was going to drink. I probably would hit the local liquor store there in the Dominican. I don't believe I drink at the resorts.
That's a very good thing. You know, this similar thing was happened not on this large of a scale in Mexico. They were having some trouble at resorts. So I don't know if that was like last year or the year before.
Well,
so I don't know what's going on there. But anyway.
You know, what I always heard about Mexico is, you know, you're safe as long as you stay at the resorts. With the cartel there now, Mexico used to be a fairly safe place to visit. Now, over the last 10 to 20 years, man, you stay at the resorts or know what you're doing. I think particularly around those border towns,
Tijuana.
I was trying to think of the border of where El Paso is.
I know exactly.
I can't think of the name of the town. Juarez. that area. There's a lot of, you know, drug trafficking and all, and the cartel. But anyway, back to the Dominican. Yeah, just don't go right now, people. Just go somewhere else.
Yes, and but we do want you to go with us to the Bahamas next year. So
right,
we're going to have our
pirate cruise,
the Sports Objective pirate cruise, and our good friend Dana Schrenk, who is our travel agent. We're going to put out those details. We've got the information in the next day or two. But I tell you what, she's looked out for us. We've already reserved at least 20 rooms. We've already got at least 6. That's before I've even talked to Bubba and Kyle. So that we already may have like 8 or 10 rooms that we have right now that are about half of those rooms are about booked. So
if people come on through with the money.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking at we can always add more rooms. We started out with 20. We'll see how we kind of stay conservative. It's 8 ocean view, 8 balconies and 4 interiors, so we try to be fair with 3 different price ranges for we want everybody to go. We also made it where it's Charleston to Bahamas. If you've never been on a cruise, 4 days.
Easy drive, yeah. You don't have to fly to Florida. You can hop in your
right.
car, take the 4-hour drive, well, at least by 4 hours from me, to down to beautiful Charleston, and then, you know, hop on the boat and hit out. And another good thing about it, Dave, is sounds like you can go ahead, and if you want to do it, you know, I guess we're going to have everything official around September, and you can go ahead and start making payments to Dana.
Right.
We're
going to have it official in the next week or two. We're just trying to do it a soft
okay.
sale right now.
Okay, and so, you can go ahead and start making your payments, so
yeah.
you don't have to worry about it. Of course, if you put it on a credit card, you ain't got to worry about it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make payments, but if you don't want to avoid that interest, you can just make payments to the travel agents and have it paid off by the time it's time to go.
That's how I do it every year, and we want to do it where everybody can go, and it's a pirate. If you're part of Pirate Nation, if you're not part of Pirate Nation, then that's fine. We'll charge you double. No, I'm just kidding. We'll still have you there.
Right.
Hey, Kyle, you're gonna love this. We're actually gonna have a thanks to Dana. She's working out with the folks at Carnival Cruise Line. With Carnival, that we're going to have our own private party for a couple hours, and we're going to have a party. I mean, we're pirates, so on the pirate ship there. The Carnival Sunshine next year is we're going to, again, the Bahamas. It's going to be to Nassau, so if you've never been to the Bahamas, Nassau is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. It's going to be, again, the 4-day cruise. We're trying to keep things reasonable. Plus, we're giving it to you where you can, instead of having to fly, no airfare, you just drive, unless you want to fly to Charleston. Sure you can. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's July the 16th and 19th. We're going to have so much fun. And also, folks, if you want to be a part of a podcast, we're going to do a special podcast. Dana's arranging that for us where we're going to record it. The internet is terrible. If you've never been on a cruise, the internet is terrible on a cruise ship. There's no way in the world we could do a show live, even if we wanted to.
You know, I got an idea, Dave.
Okay.
I'm gonna, we need to talk about this off the air, so just remind me to tell you this.
Okay. But we're going to do a 2-hour podcast as we would normally do. She's going to find us. They're going to have us a special room. We're going to record the podcast. If you want to be a part of the podcast, then you have to be on the cruise. We won't release the podcast until we get back in the States to North Carolina. So we're going to do that when we come back. We'll, you know, do that. But if you want to be part of a special podcast, then you'll have to come on the cruise and you can be a part of it. So
yeah,
I'll tell you
And that's a year from now. But
yeah, we got a lot of
yeah,
stuff. To,
and, but
yeah.
before that gets here, Dave, we have football season coming. And
oh, yeah.
Along with football season coming, Joey Perry's got to get that field ready. And we talked to Joey.
Yes, we
did. And you want to go to that now?
Yeah, let's go ahead to Joey right now. Well, Bubba, it's definitely summertime, and definitely the yards are looking good. And one guy that knows all about that is Joey Perry. And, Bubba, I know we have a special guest, right?
Absolutely. Joey's been at ECU since 2000, and he's in charge of the athletic grounds. And very excited to have him on the show. Joey, welcome in.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. We wanted to have you on. I don't know if you could hear us, but we wanted to talk to you about, first of all, thanking you for, I don't think people realize the amount of time and effort that you put into it. It's not something that you do from like day to day. It's something that's a full-time job and a lot of staff. Can you give Pirate Nation an idea of all that you do?
Yeah, I have one full-time assistant, and you know we utilize a lot of students on campus that are looking to be a part of athletics and trying to that not scared to get a little dirty and get a little work in. But you know, we have to focus really on what sport is in season, but we never really lose focus of everything we have to do with all the sports. So you know, once baseball turns, we turn our attention right back to football full time. And you know, right now I'm in the middle of verticutting the football field, and we've done a little sodding out here where we paint the logos that needed a little help. And you know, we're just constantly trying to make this place better.
In addition, Joey, to the turf itself, I know you work with the process of putting down the Pirate State of Mind, and of course the end zone logos and what have you. So talk a little bit about that process and everything that goes into it in terms of whether there's like the stencils, et cetera.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, I try not to lay those stencils out, but one time a year I keep them burned in or keep them outlined during the season. But that's a pretty much a week process that we'll maybe 2 weeks before the first home football game, we'll start laying them out, you know, one end zone here, one end zone there, the middle, and then the conference logo. So it's a pretty intense process to lay them out and make sure we've got them all aligned and got them in the correct position. So we'll put down, we'll outline it you know, and then we'll take the process of filling them in and getting it painted up.
It seems one question I had for you, and I know you're just doing your job, so you don't have to answer the question, but I'm hoping that this year I've heard rumors of that we're going to go back to where one side of the end zone will have East Carolina and one side will have Pirates. Is that something you can talk about?
I think they're having some talks about what they want to do. Mr. Gilbert and you know Ryan and JJ have kind of and Coach Houston have kind of figured that out. I think they're looking at some other things, but I don't know if they've made a definite decision on what's going to be in the end zone this year.
I know with as far as the how much like when you talk about full time, like is that like 40 hours or 60 hours? I know you guys are working so hard. How many students and does
yeah.
it take?
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on what we have going on. So, like a baseball week, and we have five home games. I mean, you're looking at anywhere from 70 to 80 hours that week. Obviously, I can't work the kids that much because they're in school. But those kids, I mean, you know, they're working anywhere from 25 to 35 hours a week, every one of them. You know,
wow.
During the baseball season. Football, you know, we don't – it's not quite as labor-intensive. Obviously, we don't have as many games and stuff like that. But, you know, football week, we would work anywhere from, you know, 50 to 60 hours, maybe more depending on the weather and what we got going on.
And I know with when you were talking about baseball, I want to commend you guys because with the regional, I know that had to be very stressful with all the – the weather, is that like, do you pretty much live at the stadium when you have a situation where you have home games and a whole bunch of home games, which is putting more wear and tear on the field, plus you have the weather to deal with?
Oh, absolutely. That regional was a long deal. You know, that's 2 years in a row. We hadn't had really good weather. You're just kind of prisoner to Mother Nature at that point. So you just have to take what it gives you, and then you just have to keep it ready to play at any time because, you know, there's no canceling. We got to get the games in no matter what the times are.
Joey, taking a look down through the years, and like I mentioned in the intro, you've been at ECU for going on two decades now. So over that time, be it Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, baseball, what are some of the biggest challenges you've had? I know in recent years there have been concerts a couple of times. So talk about that and then some of the other challenges you and your staff have faced.
Well, when I first got here, there was no equipment, there was no shop. So it's taken me, you know, pretty close to 20 years to build up my fleet of you know, equipment, to get a nice shop to keep everything in. And so I guess that was the biggest thing early on was getting the right equipment, getting everybody to understand that if they want nice stuff, that they have to, there's a give and take. You know, we want the coaches and the players to be the best they can be, and obviously everybody wants to win. But, you know, just like the football field or the baseball field, you know, it's like, you know, Coach Godwin, he demands excellence, whether it's on the field or off, but he also understands that, you know, we can't go out here and kill the field every day. You know, we don't have practice fields. And, you know, that's the thing that I've dealt with every football coach. You know, they have different ways that they do things, and they like to do things. And, you know, me and Coach Houston right now are working out, you know, like what is what works for him. But then also, like, you know, if you want the field to be in this kind of condition, we have to kind of, you know, not kill it and not, you know, not be on the game field all the time. So, you know, it's just a give and take. That's probably the biggest thing, is just working with the coaches and you know, trying to accomplish what their goals are, but also, you know, everybody's got a job to do, and mine is to make this field playable and as safe as it can be for the games.
As far as I know that you obviously working for the university, but you're obviously human. How are you a really big sports fan, or can you tell us about how
you wouldn't be in this position really if you didn't want to be around college athletics and sports and the kids. I mean, you know, I could never really see myself working inside and away from sports, because I mean, I've been around it my whole life and I really enjoy it. So you know, if I had to say, I baseball's always been my first love, but you know, watching my son play, you know, football was probably the sport that I like to watch the most in person. But I just generally love the game of baseball and the intricacies of it. You know, that's a big deal for me.
Joey, I wanted to ask you, like you said a minute ago, you're talking about some of the different football coaches you've worked with. I guess Coach Mike Houston now is what, your sixth football coach, if I'm not mistaken, and then you've been with, I guess, four or five baseball coaches, et cetera. So talk a little bit about some of the ones you've worked with. Maybe you have a story or two you can share.
Sure. Well, you know, when I first got here, it was an eye-opening experience. You know, first time on my own, first time being in charge of everything. And, you know, it was just things were handled differently than I was used to being handled, everything handled at State. So when I got here, they were mowing the grass at 2.5 inches tall with a rotary mower. And, you know, the weeds were a little bit rough. So, I mean, anything that I came in and put in place, you know, it was great. But, you know, the coaches really appreciated it when I came in. So, like Steve Logan, we had a problem with goose grass. It's one of my favorite stories to tell. And I'm like, he's like, hey, what can we do about this? And I'm like, Coach, the weeds are so far along right now, I can't really do anything. But I can buy you a set of pair of knives, and you can have your kickers and your snappers and all. Once they get done, they can just come out here and start cutting them out and making a pile, and I'll get them up every day. And I'm telling you, every day he had a pile of weeds cut on the side that I got up. But, you know, he helped me in that situation, helped him. So that's a pretty funny one.
Oh. But Coach Logan, I can say this, and I mean this with all, because you didn't know what you're going to get. So I definitely I can appreciate that story, working with him for a few years right out of ECU and for the flagship station. He was he's definitely a lot of fun. But then again, when we were working with him, like behind the scenes, sometimes it could be challenging.
Yeah, you know, he was I just wish everybody would have known him the way I did and the way he portrayed himself on the radio, because he was an awesome guy, and he had a great sense of humor and a great personality. But, you know, I guess when you're in that position, you have to kind of be guarded and not let everybody in.
In fact, when I told that to many folks, that when they were like, Logan's this, or I said, when you see when that light goes off, and it's he looks up and he sees that he's off the air, he would joke with us behind the scenes, joke after joke after joke, and he's smiling really big. That light would come back on, the mic's on, and all of a sudden it's like this look of like John Wayne would come. And so, but he definitely is one of my favorite coaches of all time. Do you, when as far as are there things, this is one question I have for you, how can Pirate Nation, how can we make things better for you? Because we obviously are, I feel like we always use the term, and I hate the term Power Five program, but how can we as Pirate Nation, are there things, certain needs that we don't know about that would help the university or maybe put it on the forefront where we could help you out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, not so much on my aspect of it, but, you know, everything that we do and everything that I'm allowed to do, you know, as far as building new stuff, redoing stuff, all depends on, you know, putting butts in the seats, especially in football. So really, you know, if people join the Pirate Club and they buy season tickets, that's going to help me the most. I mean, sure, if somebody wants to come in and say, hey, I want to give $1 million to Athletic Grounds, I mean, I'm not going to turn it down. But overall, if people show up to games and they buy season tickets, that makes my budget bigger and lets me do more things and lets me be a little bit better successful in my job.
Is there one question I have for you is something I debate in my head. So I haven't even talked about this to Bubba or Kyle, our other co-host. As far as the weather is concerned, there was a really funny post on Hoist of Colors. This guy was, and he got crushed for it. He wanted to put like a dome for the baseball stadium. You know, why don't we build an indoor thing? Is there, would it be better to, I'm a traditionalist, I guess, but I don't know how they upkeep like you do. Is it better to have the natural grass, or is turf better, or what do you think?
Well, you know, the turf in certain aspects is a great tool in your belt. So let's just say, for instance, at football, right now my field turf field is offline because we're getting it redone, and my practice field is taking an absolute beating. And you know, as far as conditioning and agilities and during the summertime, that turf field saves those grass fields big time for fall camp. And a baseball aspect of it, you know, I've turfed around the perimeter in front of the dugouts and all, and that has been a huge benefit for me. Now, as far as playing on them, I mean, in certain instances, let's say like in Notre Dame or somewhere where it's cold, I mean, you almost have to have it. But,
right.
I mean, to me, the game is designed to be played on natural grass and dirt, for that matter, at baseball. I mean, it's just the way the game was meant. Now, there's certain instances where, you know, you almost need that because they don't have the staffing or the climate is not such where, you know, it's conducive to handle that.
Speaking of artificial surface with the field turf, I know when Cliff returned, one of the big things that he did at Clark O'Clair Stadium was the field turf and foul ground. So can you talk about like how that project, what kind of time did that save you and your staff?
Well, I mean, Coach has gotten a lot of things done since he's here. I mean, you know, he's won, and that's what happens when you win. You get more people in, and you get things done with your program if you win. But, you know, that went in right after fall practice, and that took about 2.5 months. I mean, there were some times where he had to not be on the field, but, I mean, that has been a godsend for us, for the team, everything, because, you know, that takes the most beating in front of those dugouts, back and forth. I mean, they can actually take ground balls over there. They can work on a lot of different things. They can stretch. They can run. They can, you know, Brandon Goldman can put them out there and do agilities, you know, during the summer, during the year. I mean, it's just a great tool. And, you know, it's people think it's no maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance. You know, when that dirt meets up to that turf, it's not designed to do that. So you have to wash it. You have to blow it. You have to broom it. And, you know, we also put it in the bullpen areas. Well, I mean, I just don't have a lot of staff, so that really saves me on, like, trying to keep grass cut, keep stuff early, keep where the catcher sits sealed in. I mean, it's going to stay level. All I have to do is kind of just groom it, you know, add a little rubber all along. So it's a maintenance and a day-to-day operations, it's been great.
And, Joey, speaking of new field turf surfaces, of course, a new football practice field is going in, and then there will also be an auxiliary one where the height field there in the throwing areas for track. And so can you talk a little bit about that and when the completion dates for those projects are?
Yeah, well, we had a little setback. Not a setback. We just had a little pushback. I was hoping to have the practice football field done by July 1. We've actually got the subgrade ready. All the material has been delivered, and I'm hoping when I walk back out there today that they're actually doing something. So I would my goal is when we get back from the 4th that it's done, but it may not be till the following week that's actually finished. And we won't do a lot to the auxiliary field until the football field is completed, because that's kind of our lay down yard and where we're storing things. So I would, if I had to give you a timetable, I would hope second week in July we're done with football, and maybe September 1st we'd be done with the other.
And, Joey, I had one question as far as when you're talking about wear and tear. One of the things that a lot of us in Pirate Nation want is an indoor practice facility. As far as that's concerned, would that, say we have that, does that help you as far as the how much wear and tear on the field as far as conditions and practicing? And I know there's sometimes when, obviously, Mother Nature, you can't help what happens to the fields, but does that help you if we have an indoor practice facility?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to help me, because they're going to want to be in there. So that gives them another place where they can actually practice, where they can condition, where they can do pass scale. You know, they could actually probably do walkthroughs in that indoor on a Friday before a home football game, and that way they can control who's around or who's watching. Anything where it gives them a different place to go to take the pressure off the grass is going to help me in the long run.
No doubt about it. I know we're very excited about the summertime. Do you, when you get to that point of the football season, I know you're a fan as well, how good does it make you feel when there's 40, 50,000 people and you look down there? Because I've been on the grass, and I don't think I've ever seen a time when it's looked bad. So how does it feel? How does it make you feel when you see all those people in the stadium?
Well, you know, I have pride in what I do, or, I wouldn't do it. So I strive for excellence. But also the most important thing is I want it to be safe for those kids when they come out here. But then, secondly, you know, when Pirate Nation walks in and they come up and they walk out and they look out there, I want them to be prideful. I want them to be proud of the product that we're putting out. So, I mean, it's satisfaction. There's a lot of satisfaction in making it look good. And I keep striving for perfection. But, you know, it's hard to reach perfection when you're dealing with Mother Nature. But I try to do as good as we do.
Well, Joey, I tell you what, we've been wanting to have you on, honestly, for a good while now, and I appreciate all that you do for Pirate Nation. I know I can speak for many there are a lot of people that brag about you, and I know that you're a humble guy and very laid back and behind the scenes, but we wanted to have you on, and we hope we can have you on back again, and thank you for all that you do for us, for the fans, for the university, and also, I know you do a great job with the students as well, mentoring them. So thank you for all that you do.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate the sod father, Joey Perry. I know that Troy Dreyfus, I believe, gave him that name.
And I cannot believe Tiddlywinks is his favorite sport.
I know. You can't. he actually loves baseball. That's his favorite. But he talked great about football as well. Baseball and football, obviously, are very important to him. So he did that. He wouldn't if you heard in the interview, they're still working out stuff on, we'll find out more about that, about as time goes on, about what they're going to put on the end zone. So I was trying to get him to give us breaking news that we were definitely going to have
East Carolina. As long as it ain't ECU.
Exactly. Anything's better than
that. Give away our gimmicks. I did not get to hear that interview, actually. did you at least confirm it ain't going to be ECU?
He would not say it's not going to be ECU, but I'm hoping they're in the
talks. I'll tell you what, if it's ECU, I'm going to slap the crap out of somebody. I'm not really going to slap anyone. I'm just, you know, that's
just so, yeah, exactly.
Somebody will say, Kyle's threatening to slap people again.
Yeah. So anyway, we had fun talking to him, and we've been wanting him on for a while. But you know, with all the scheduling and with all the sports stuff between football, basketball, and baseball, then we had a lot going on. So, but now we have more time where we can have guys like him, and we wanted to have him on and thank him for all the hard work, because man, they.
Yeah, Joey does a great job on the football field and baseball field. Yeah. Obviously noticed a lot during football season. Speaking of football, Dave, a lot of talk right now with UConn leaving the American Athletic Conference for the Big East about, you know,
trust
where their football
to
go, which is that's their problem. I think they put their football program in a terrible situation. It sounds like an absolute disaster there to me.
You know what's funny?
The rest of their forces are in good shape. Well, you can tell by Randy Etzel's statement today that he was politically correct with it, but he ain't happy.
No, can I tell you something I thought about today? You'll appreciate this.
Sure.
You know, you keep telling all these lies about how Jeff Confer's in Florida. I think he's the new AD at UConn.
Well,
he had no plan for football.
You know, it's a good point. And I don't blame them for going back to the Big East in terms of basketball. But they need to have a plan for football.
Exactly.
I'm really starting to wonder if their plan ain't to go back to FCS and they just don't want to admit it, because I don't see how they're going to be able to put together an independent schedule for next year. I think maybe they thought – to be damn sure they didn't think the American was going to allow them to stick around. I don't know if the MAC or somebody will be interested in throwing them a bone. I doubt it. I think UConn may be way overestimating their value. They mean a lot in basketball, but they don't mean jack squats.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that. Here's the thing, okay? UConn is kind of like they feel slighted because exactly what you're saying. They feel like they're better than the American. So I say have at it. If you think you're better, if they were better than the American, this is what I would tell UConn, okay? If you think you're better than the American, they would have already picked you, number one. Number two is there would be another conference just snatching you right up.
Well,
the ACC didn't because of their academics.
I don't have a problem with what they're doing. Again, they should have had a better player for football, but that's their problem. Now, the American, on the other hand, as we've talked ad nauseum, BYU and Army's the top two candidates if we add, if we don't add. If we can't get BYU or Army, and it doesn't look like we're going to add, I'd be in favor of Southern Miss. I know, Dave, you had an idea you wanted to throw out there that we have discussed.
Yeah, I do. I have no problems with what you've already suggested. I personally think that what people – let me make this very clear distinction so people don't have hurt feelings when I say this. I've seen a number of teams – what you have to realize, it's not about what Kyle and I want as far as sentimental favorites of local teams or certain ones we want. You have to understand, you have to put your mindset in what Mike Oresko is thinking as the commissioner of the American. So having said that, there's a lot of teams that I would put in there because they're my sentimental favorites, but it wouldn't work for the American. What I would like to see, and it's not going to happen, but what I would like to see is for the commissioner to add, it has to be teams that make sense. So let me start saying that. It has to make teams that make sense, and again, not sentimental. So you would take a number of teams, and what I would like to see is, since we have 11, expand to 14 or 16 teams. I'll let you add from that point because you were the one that came up with the idea.
Yeah, well, you could go to 16 and try to force the hand of ESPN and these bowl games to say, look, you we're either a power conference or we're not. Now, we've just, you know, if you could get a gentleman's agreement with Army, okay, that's 12, Boise is 13, BYU that's 14, Air Force that's 15, San Diego State that's 16, and you can sub Colorado Stadium for San Diego State if you prefer. So that's 16 teams. You make a gentleman's agreement. All right, we're going to approach ESPN and the New Year's Six Bowls and these other Power Five conferences and say, if we present this as a league, as a 16-team league, the best of the rest, will we get Power Five status? ESPN, will you at least give us $10 million per team, at least $10 million per team, hopefully more? Will we get a New Year's Six Bowl game guaranteed? And most importantly, will we get Power 6 status?
Right.
Will we get autonomy? If they say yes to all those things, if you can put this conference together, make it happen.
That's what I would like to see. So let me make very clear. I'm not saying expand, just grab six, you know, well, actually five teams. Five teams.
You can do that if it makes us a Power 6 conference.
Correct. I'm trying to say do something instead of licking your wounds and saying, oh, gosh, we lost UConn. I know their baseball team has been decent and all that. Men's basketball has been a little bit down. They're going to get better. Danny Hurley's doing an outstanding job recruiting. I like him as a coach. I think Randy Edsall's a good coach. I think they don't care anything about football, so that's kind of sad for them. But I think what's happening now is you and I love the 1980s and the 90s and all that, but what we were doing in the 1980s and 90s, as far as personally and also sports, it's a brand new day. And you can't live – I'm sorry, I hate to tell folks that love basketball – it's a football world.
Well, it's been a football world for a while.
I know.
Here's the thing. I think Connecticut is content on being a Seton Hall or Villanova-type school. That's fine. Move football to FCS.
Right.
I'm not worried about Connecticut. They can do what they want to do.
They
can go kick rocks, suck an egg, pound sand. I'm not worried about them.
I care about the American because I love our conference.
Right. You know who this does affect directly with UConn leaving? It's Kim McNeil and the Women Pirates, the Lady Pirates basketball team. You know, that is one positive. Is, let's be honest, you know, UConn was a juggernaut in women's basketball, and you hate to lose them, but at the same time, now somebody else will actually be able to maybe win the league, and you got to thank Kim McNeil, though I'm sure she love the opportunity of getting to play UConn. She's going to feel like her chances are much better to actually try to get to the top of the American now without UConn in the league.
And let's go to her. We'll talk about her five new Lady Pirates. We'll talk about that and about her feelings about UConn and much more. Let's go to the interview right now. Very excited to have on the program again for the second time, Bubba. We've got a very special guest.
Yeah, we do. She's been on the job 3 months now, and welcome into the show, East Carolina women's basketball coach Kim McNeil.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Very excited to have you on. I'll tell you what, I think this is the most excited I've ever been about women's basketball at East Carolina. Not to say I never have been, but we're very pleased with your start so far. And I guess out of the gate, can you talk about your time in Greenville? What are your thoughts?
It's been really, really good. Things are starting to settle down a little bit. My husband and I, Corey, we found a house. We closed on July 15th. Our kids are having a great time at the rec center summer camp. We're getting to know the team well, and I think we've had a really good summer. So it's been good.
Well, you know, well, you may not know, but I love to eat. Are there places around Greenville before we start talking about the team that you love so far?
Oh, there's so many. I feel like everywhere we've been has been great. My husband is a huge fan of Otavola.
Oh, yeah.
I like Basil's. I like Carolina Ale. I mean, everywhere I've been, the food's been great. So you can actually tell that I've put on a couple of pounds. So.
Well, I'm sure when you work out with the team that you'll be able to get that off really quick, right?
Yeah, I do. And I also work out at Orange Theory. So I'm enjoying that and enjoying, you know, getting to know people in the community.
No doubt,
Coach, as we take a look at the returning roster from last year, you have eight pieces returning from the 18-19 roster, led by LaShonda Monk, who was a third-team All-AAC selection, and then also Raven Johnson. Talk a little bit about those two.
Those two have been working their butts off. Obviously, you know, we utilized summer for multiple things. You know, one first and foremost is academically, you know, either get ahead or catch up. And both of those young ladies are doing very well in the classroom, which is obviously very important to me. But just their work ethic, every day, showing up, bringing it, you know, trying to separate themselves because we need some leadership and we need them to step up and be those leaders for us. So both of them bodies are changing, attitudes are changing. So it's been really good.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, as far as now that you've had a time to settle in, one of the important things I want to remind folks is to be like me. I've never gotten season tickets, but I'm going to get season tickets because I think a lot of you and what your staff and what y'all brought to the program. But what are some needs that you have, maybe that Pirate Nation, we can actually support you, and maybe we can talk to the AD about getting for you in the program?
Yeah, I think you spoke on it. You know, just getting the support. You know, the one thing I love about being in the college town and being in Greenville is just the support that you get from the community. And you're going to see our faces. You're going to see our team, our staff out in the community doing a lot of different things. You know, so if there's ever any community service or anything you'd like for us to show face up, please don't hesitate to call. Can't say I'll do it all, but we'll do as much as we can. And so in return, you know, these young ladies work really hard. They work really hard in the classroom. They work really hard on the court. And, you know, to have that support for people to come out and see us and we fill Minji's up, get it rocking and rolling again, I think would just do wonders for our program.
No doubt about it. And when you look at what I've been impressed with, I told you last time with your first official visit with us, is the fact of three different coaches. The ladies really worked hard. They get a winning season of 16-15. I was really impressed by their toughness, not only on the court, obviously all across the board. It'd be easy to say, well, we've got these coaching changes and we can just kind of pack it in. They worked really hard. They get a winning season. How can you build from that from last year and year one for you?
You know, I think you hit it right on the head. You know, for them to go through as much adversity as they went through, but still, you know, had the ability to finish with a winning season just shows, you know, some toughness that we have, and that fits the way we play. You know, defensive minded team, blue collar, gritty, and so part of what we do, we've already got. It's just instilling some discipline, I think some stability that they haven't had, and just implementing our system, which we're starting to do here this summer.
What kind of, when you say system, what brand of basketball can Pirate Nation expect? I know there are a lot of people that are like myself and Bubba and Kyle who couldn't be with us today, but what kind of basketball are we going to see on the court?
It's going to be very up-tempo. Very defensive minded, a lot of different defenses. I don't know if we'll be able to put the whole system in this year. We'll gradually get our way to that, but you'll see the foundation of it. You'll see a team that is going to work extremely hard. That's going to be exciting. I want, you know, whether we win or lose, I want our fans walking away saying, wow, that team plays really, really hard, and they play together, and they look like they're having fun. You know, sometimes you go and watch teams and they just don't look like they're having fun. They don't look like they have good chemistry. You know, so that's one thing we're also focusing on this summer is developing that chemistry, you know, not only amongst the teammates but amongst the coaching staff, because we're new. You know, it is different when you're with a coach that didn't recruit you, that doesn't really know you. So I think that's the main thing, that this summer has been really good for them to get to know us, who we are, what we expect, and we've been able to develop those relationships.
Coach, you referenced recruiting. You brought in five new pieces, led by Sierra DaCosta, who played for you at Hartford. I'm assuming she's a grad transfer, and she has 1 year remaining, if I'm not mistaken. And I know she was an All-America East Rookie of the Year selection. So talk a little bit about her and the other pieces you're bringing into the program.
You know, so Sierra, she's not a grad transfer. She actually will have to sit this year, and she'll play next year. But she knows our system. She's been with us for 3 years. She's been through the good and bad of, you know, us rebuilding that program at Hartford. You know, she came right in. We didn't recruit her to Hartford. The previous Jen Rosati did, but I had to re-recruit her to get her to stay. And as you said, she was Rookie of the Year, you know, had battled some injuries her second year, but then last year had a great year. And you know, we played a really tough schedule at Hartford. We played Miami. We played them to a 7-8 point game. We played Michigan State to overtime. We played Louisville. We played Villanova. We played New Mexico. And in all of those games, Sierra was one of the best guards out there on the floor. So she's just excited about being in the American and being able to play against, you know, top-notch competition. And just her leadership, her knowing our system, will be great for our team going forward.
Can you talk about the other additions, the new Pirates that we want to welcome into Greenville?
Yeah, I'm just excited about this group. They're hardworking kids. They're working their butts off in the weight room and on the court thus far. And, you know, freshmen, they come in and they don't know what to expect. They don't have a clue. They think they've been working hard, you know, in high school, but you get to college and it's a completely different level. But just their commitment and, you know, just their drive of getting in the gym, being there early, you know, getting great reports from our strength and conditioning coach about just their focus and, you know, their leadership already. You know, we got some versatility in this class, which is what I love. I love players that can play multiple positions. Now, we recruit what we call positionless players. And, you know, there's really only two positions on the floor that I feel like we label, and that's the point guard and that's the five, you know, the back-to-the-basket kid. The rest, right. they can play multiple positions. And I think that's what made us so successful at Hartford was because we were able to put our best five players on the floor. Really, last year we started five guards. You know, our five being 6'1". But we love positionless players. We love players that can play multiple positions, and this group does that for us.
And, Coach, when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense that you have to have – you want to put the best – not only the best players, but you want to put the best athletes on the floor, right?
Exactly. With our defensive mentality and just switching up defenses and, you know, being able to do and cause havoc on the defensive end of the floor and creating offense off of that defense is very important to us. But in the half court, we want to be smart enough to where if we've gone two or three possessions and we've thrown the ball out of bounds or we've taken bad shots, now we got to settle down in the half court and be able to execute our offense, which is a lot of four out one in, a lot of ball screen action, a lot of pick and pop, you know, a lot of three-man action. So, you know, that length and versatility really fits us both ends of the floor.
Coach McNeil, about a week and a half ago, the AAC schedule was released. And the Pirates will be playing Houston, Memphis, SMU, Tulsa, and Wichita State, home and away, UConn, Temple, and Tulane, only in Minji's, and then also UCF, USF, and Cincinnati just on the road. So talk a little bit about the conference schedule. And then also, I know last year Wake Forest came to Minji's, and we typically play quite a few regional opponents, whether it's UNC Wilmington, Elon, or what have you. So talk about your non-conference schedule and how it's shaping up.
You know, one of the reasons I came to East Carolina was the competitive league. You know, I'm a competitor through and through. And, you know, to be able on, you know, in conference play to play against some of the best teams in the country, you know, South Florida, obviously UConn, Cincinnati, Central Florida, all these teams, you know, it excites me. You know, so every night you got to bring it. There are no nights off, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't know a lot about the league yet. We're getting there. You know, our focus this summer has basically been on us and how we're going to get better. And that's a huge part of my philosophy, too, you know, control the controllables. And what we can control is us. You know, I can't control what everybody else is doing. But I'm really excited, you know, to get out into the league. And, you know, I know the coaches, there are a lot of really good new coaches in the league. So, you know, I'm excited about the competition. You know, from a non-conference standpoint, you know, we had about five games we had to add when we got here that I think is going to bring a lot of excitement to our schedule. It's not released yet, but, you know, we are returning, you know, Charlotte, Wake Forest, those guys that we played last year, and we added some other teams. You know, like I said, our non-conference schedule at Hartford, you know, we didn't run from competition. We played four top 25 teams last year. So, you know, we'll continue to do that next year when we build the schedule because I'm a firm believer of, you know, you don't get better playing a cupcake schedule. You get better with playing a schedule that's going to test you and playing all different kinds of styles. And that's what we'll continue to do as we go forward.
I'm an even bigger fan of you now, but I'm a scheduling nerd, and that's something that to be the best, you got to beat the best, and that's the only way we're going to get better. Speaking of the best, one of the biggest news stories of the week is, of course, looks like UConn is going to leave the conference. I just want to get your thoughts on that, and I had a follow-up as well on that.
You know, obviously it's a blow. You know, everybody wants, you know, to try to get the opportunity to beat UConn, and, you know, I would be lying if I said that, you know, I wasn't excited about the opportunity to do that. But as I said before, I'm a firm believer of control the controllables, and we can't control the fact that they're leaving. I don't waste my energy on things that I can't control. I'm going to spend my energy on things that I can, and that's, you know, getting East Carolina better, because there are still some really, really good teams in this league. There's still some really, really good coaches in this league. So, you know, it's a bummer to see them go, but we'll still continue to go in our direction and our goals, and our goals is to get this program back to rocking and rolling and better than what it was, and get a shot at winning a conference championship.
No doubt about it, and I know that the women's program has had some success in the past of going to the tournament. How, one question I had for you, Coach, is how, I know you're a huge competitor like the others, like the both of us are, even on this podcast. How close are we to getting back to the women's tournament?
You know, obviously with UConn, you know, leaving the league, I think the door is wide open, you know, from anybody being able to win it. You know, I wouldn't say we're there next year, but I would say in the next 2 years you're going to see us moving up that chart, you know, moving up that ladder and positioning ourselves, you know, to be able to compete from that. And I think that starts with, one, us making the young ladies that we got better. And I think they've done that this summer within the 5 or 6 weeks that they've been here. And two, just continuing to bring in young ladies that are going to make our program better, both on and off the court. And then up in the ante of our schedule, you know, to compete against a team that's going to get us ready, you know, for conference play.
It's going to be really exciting. And I want folks again to dial 1-800-DIAL-ECU or ecupirates.com. And I know, can they go ahead and get their season tickets now, or is the window, I guess, hasn't been open figuratively and literally yet for season tickets?
Not yet. It will be opening soon, but, you know, I would love to be able to pack Menjis and get the Menjis crazies, Menjis maniacs going, and getting that support behind us and making that home court advantage for us, you know, a really tough place for people to come and play.
Well, I can promise you, Bubba, Bubba's in the western part of the state near Charlotte, but I know he and I and also Kyle, we're going to support you by coming to some games next year and even get some season tickets. So I appreciate all that you're doing for the program, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited about a new era for Lady Pirates basketball.
Thank you guys so much. We really, really appreciate the support.
Appreciate you very much, Coach. In fact, Kyle, we need to go. We know we all three love her on this podcast. We need to go to some games. And I'm even the check this out. I don't know if it'll be the same price. My buddy Joe at the ticket office told me that the season tickets for women's basketball are going to be pretty much the same, only $40 for the whole year. So I was thinking that we could support our Lady Pirates, and we love our new coach. I'm really impressed with her.
Yeah, I hope she does well. She's somebody you want to see succeed. You always want to see whoever the head coach is, East Carolina, succeed. But she's very likable, seems very genuine and real, like the last coach we knew we had. And hopefully she's successful.
I hope so too, man. We love her a lot, and we wish her the best. And we love where this athletic program, we love where it's going. And I've got by the way, I'm going to throw this one at you. I've already told Bubba earlier today when we were preparing for the next podcast or two, and I want to throw this at you, and I'm glad that I forgot to tell you ahead of time. How about this scenario, okay? Joe Dooley has a Dooley Digest. If you haven't seen that, it's awesome. It's a couple-minute video with him and Rafael Chilias talking about the new team and talking about the fact that this is where this gave me the idea, so you understand where I'm going with this. He says, hey, if you don't coach and have the idea of winning a national championship, you shouldn't coach. I'm paraphrasing, right?
Right.
Imagine the scenario, okay, that this is where we're headed, and this is why I'm so excited. And people can think I'm a lunatic, and you think that I'm crazy. Yeah, we already know that. That's why you're my friend. But the fact of the matter is we could have a basketball team in men's and probably women's too, going to at least the NCAA tournament on a regular basis, number one. You already have the baseball team. They're knocking at the door at Omaha, right?
Right.
And then you figure, I'm going to give him 4 or 5 years. I think, and I'll go out on a limb on this one, on the skinny branches, I think that Mike Houston has a chance to get us in the New York Six Bowl by year 4 or 5. I really do. I think there's
I think there's definitely a chance he could do that. I think he's that quality of a coach. Sure.
I never thought. And you know the funny thing is, on the baseball is the only one that I used to be confident.
Yeah.
On Omaha.
Yeah.
And now today I was thinking about that, and I said I'll talk about that tonight on the podcast, because how crazy is the fact that you and I would have never, ever uttered those words of us going to an NCAA basketball tournament in the near future or a New York Six Bowl, considering our football the last 3 years.
Well, you know, we had piss poor leadership, you know, from top to bottom, dude. And now we have great leadership from John Gilbert on down, and they've made good hires, and things are headed in the right direction.
It's just it's a great feeling. I don't know about you, but this has been the most excited. It's kind of funny. Just think about, I was thinking about this over the weekend. Just think about where you and I reconnected. We were at that IHOP the day that Comfort gets the buyout, or we discussed that, and we're eating our pancakes or whatever. And think about that point, the beginning of virtually the first week of the podcast till now. Think about how much better things are with our favorite program.
yeah, I think you're implying to when we did our first podcast together, the place we were as the athletic department to where we are now. Yeah, it's night and day. We've come a long way in a relatively short period of time, and that's what a change in leadership will do.
Right. And, you know, with it's one thing. It's one thing when you see a situation like we had before, and, you know, people would probably say with us, all those guys are doing is complaining or whatever. The reason why we're complaining is we know that things are better. We're East Carolina, and when you're East Carolina, then you need to have coaches like a Cliff Godwin, like a Joe Dooley, like a Mike Houston. Those guys have lofty goals, and guess what? They should. I was thinking about that. Imagine if your goal was just to go to a bowl game. Oh, who was that? Who said that? I'm sorry.
Right.
And I'm not hating on a former coach or beating up on him.
I am.
It's kind of, I guess, a passe thing. But my point is, you got a guy like me who now I'm believing that we can go to a New York Six Bowl versus a guy who said that we're going to a bowl. And I know what he meant. He was just trying to do a rallying cry because we got the pants beat all of us that day in Memphis. But
right.
At the same time, that just goes to show the mindset. Look at Dooley. He's saying, if you don't think you can, you know, like you shouldn't be coaching. In other words, if you don't have the goal of being a national champion and coaching that way and recruiting that way and having that kind of mindset, you look at Coach Cliff Godwin. He's the kind of guy, anytime, anywhere, any place, we're going to play you. You know, we can go on and on and on and on about those three major coaches. And so the mindset now that we have with the new leadership, it just is mind-boggling. All the way down to, I want to talk about this. I know that you liked it. It really pops. I love you. The three of us, I think, are graphics nerds on this podcast. That's probably why we do the show together.
I work in that business.
Well, yeah. That's true, too. But I really love what they released for Wallpaper Wednesday. You saw it. You and I both saw it today. Bubba, I think, had seen it yesterday and shared it with us. We the East, and I want to get your thoughts on that.
High school looking graphics. Pretty simple, to the point. Close up of a player doing the crossbones in We the East. I mean, you can take that two ways. We the East, like we the people, or you can take it like We the East. So however you want to take it, but I like it. I thought it was pretty badass, and I shared it on my Facebook, and I dig it.
I really like it a lot, and I just want to give a shout out. You know, like we always talk about, my friend, when things are good, we're going to give people credit. If they're not good, we're going to talk about it. And I think that's one thing that I don't understand why that's why people have a hard time with that. But if we give credit where credit's due, and this administration, we're not getting paid by the current administration to talk good about them.
My.
They've just made a lot of easy decisions, common sense stuff like that, like the Dooley, like all this stuff on social media. Bubba and I were talking about that with the Dooley Digest. If you haven't seen it, it was out on Twitter today, but it's fantastic. It's literally a 2-minute video.
Well, under the last under the last administration, we couldn't have said we the East. We would have had to say we the East.
Because God forbid you say East.
Right. That'd be ECU only.
That's a good one. That's a good one. No doubt about it. Well, he's at UConn now, making football. I guess he's in charge of football. So
yeah,
they don't have a plan. You know.
By the way, you're going to confuse people. They're going to think Comfort's really at UConn. He's not.
I'm joking. I just said that. It just reminds me of when we fired McNeil, and if they'd hired Mike Houston after McNeil, or somebody like a Houston up and comer that was really good and a quality candidate, then we would not have all the problems we had and all the craziness and all the division and on and on and on. So anyway, it's going to be fun to see. I tell you what, I'm so excited about everything coming up. By the way, folks, I want to remind you as much as I can to call the ticket office, get your tickets, 1-800-DIAL-ECU for your football tickets. Let's go ahead and we're about 4,000. There is a little dull period, but, you know, we'd love to see the goal of 17,000. Let's have 17,000 season tickets to start. And, man, if you could have a bowl game like I think we're going to do in year one under Houston, and, oh, my goodness, I can't imagine the excitement now. What's year three or four going to be like? And another point I want to make to you, Kyle, is normally I follow recruiting a little bit. Every single day I've been checking about recruiting now because of the quality of football players we're getting now under Coach Mike Houston.
Right, yeah, Mike Houston's doing a great job recruiting, and it's just going to keep building, dude. I can't wait for the season to get here.
And you look at Coach, one final point I want to make too, by the way. I remembered something I was going to talk about. I was about to forget it. Is reading today on our good friend from Stephen Iga, hoistthecolors.net. He had a great article about Mike Houston, and it just made me think about you're talking about leadership. Well, how about the fact that Mike Houston says he's going to have, looks like he's pushing really hard the indoor practice facility. He talked about what we always talk about, how they've missed a couple sessions now that they shouldn't have because of lightning. Yeah. Now it's going to be, and if you have a Tuesday practice if he talks about an article, then if you have a Tuesday practice and you have thunder, that's putting you a day behind, and it helps hurts you as far as your strategy and all that kind of stuff, is stating the obvious. But how about this? The fact that we have a Mike Houston, he can say, look, guys, we're going to have a practice facility. His last contract, apparently, as stated in the article by our good friend Stephen Igo, says that they were going to build a new practice facility. Had to happen, like a $2 million, I think it was $2 million indoor practice facility. He goes on to say that it doesn't have to be a Cadillac, but it's not going to be a clunker. But you talk about a recruiting tool, and even the point of we were talking with earlier in the show with Joey Perry, it helps him because you don't have all these people practicing on a practice field, including the non-revenue sports that are using the practice fields for whatever.
It's bad being like the only one that doesn't have one too. So it needs to happen this past time.
No doubt about it. By the way, folks, before we get out of here, I want to remind you, we have 50 Pirates, 50 days. We're going to have a lot of great people starting July the 12th, every single day between July 12th and August 30th, that Friday before we play NC State in Raleigh. We're going to be talking to former players and coaches. 50 Pirates, 50 days. It's going to be awesome, and I cannot wait for that. We also told you earlier about the cruise. We'll be giving you more details where you can call. We'll have Dana on the podcast talking about it, and give the official open of that, where you can go ahead and start registering for rooms. We're going to see there. I know some former Pirates players have expressed interest. We'll see if they're still interested. We've been telling them that for a few months now. So we'll see. Maybe we can get Terry Gallagher on the boat. He's never done it before. He said that with us, that he would do it with us. So we'll see if he'll do it. But anyway, we'll talk more about that. Also, we're working on putting the final details on the watch party. We've got some games that Kyle, Bubba, and I have been talking about, former players that we're ironing out the details. So we'll have at least 6 episodes of that where we're going to be watching a game with them. They're going to talk about their memories of that game and what was going on. Maybe they talk about maybe if it's Coach Logan, maybe he gave them a great speech, or Skip Holtz, or whoever the coach may be. and maybe a halftime speech that where they knocked over a chalkboard. Who knows what happened? We'll be doing that. Plus, Friday morning football is coming up. I talked, by the way, tonight, as a matter of fact, to our great engineer, Al Cannon. He and I are working really hard on the technical aspect of things. But every Friday morning from Giddy Up Coffee in Williamston, Giddy Up Coffee House, we're going to be doing Friday morning football. It's going to be starting sometime in July. So we're working on getting that straight. A lot of stuff going on, Kyle.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of stuff coming up, and should be a fun summer.
And, Kyle, how can people find us on social media?
They can just search the Sports Objective on Facebook, like the page, go to Twitter, find us there at Sports OBJ on Twitter. Yeah, I have no idea about our Instagram.
Instagram is simply at the Sports Objective, so that's our Instagram handle, so you can find us there. And also, you can find us pretty much anywhere, podcasts or any kind of podcast players. So if you like Google, there's all kinds of places. And yeah, we always like to say that. People probably say, why are you saying that? Because there's some people that just get our links from social media. That's fine. But we have to, Kyle and I, when he was first with me way back when, we said one of the things we're going to have to do, in addition to social media, we're going to have to educate folks on what a podcast is. And some people still don't know, even though they listen to it. That's
yeah,
fine.
And tell your friends, if you listen to it and you enjoy it, tell a friend, explain to them how to get the podcast, and show them how to use the app, whatever app you use, be it TuneIn, AudioBoom, or maybe your iPhone podcast app, and pass it on. Help us build our audience if you enjoy what we do.
And give us a 5-star review, even if you hate us. That'll be fine. Just say how great we are, and you can lie. It's fine. It's okay. Also, you can email us with any of your questions, comments, concerns. You can email the show at bsportsobj@gmail.com, and you can do that. Kyle, my friend, I'm so glad to have you back. It was Kyle from Gatlinburg. I'm glad it's Kyle from LaGrange back with us. I missed you, and so great for you to be back. And I want to thank our great guest, Joey Perry. Appreciate all he does for the grounds, for all the teams and the fields, and obviously, love our new coach for Lady Pirates for basketball, Kim McNeil. Loves her talking. And again, folks, want to remind you, for season tickets of any kind, go to 1-800-DIAL-ECU, ecupirates.com. And we'll miss Bubba Rosenbaum. I guess he's still on assignment, but Bubba will be back with us, I know, very soon. For Kyle from the Grange Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.